Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Hezbollah is in turmoil today after Israel killed two leaders of its elite operations unit in a strike on a Beirut stronghold that Lebanese authorities say killed 31 people. Lebanese Health Minister Firas Abiad said that three children were among the dead on Friday's strike on an underground meeting room. Israel said the strike killed the head of Hezbollah's elite Radwan force, Ibrahim Akil, and several other commanders, including Ahmed Wahba. The military said it's again the Israeli military that is, says it hitting targets belonging to the Hezbollah terrorist organisation in Lebanon without elaborating further. Well, I'm joined now by Nicholas Blanford. He's been based in Beirut for decades and an expert on Hezbollah with the Atlantic Council, a think tank, and also a journalist with many newspapers over the years. Nicholas, civilian and key Hezbollah commanders are amongst those killed in the Israeli airstrike in Beirut yesterday, and it comes after the communications devices owned by Hezbollah, pagers and walkie-talkies, exploded across Lebanon earlier this week. What are we likely to see as a result of this? Is this a precursor to further action, or is this a statement in itself?
Well, I think since the end of August, the Israelis have stepped up their attacks on Hezbollah. They've increased the number of airstrikes into South Lebanon and other areas of Lebanon, whereas in the past, maybe they would hit 2-3 targets at a go. Now they're hitting 50 to 100 targets in one fell swoop. Obviously, the attacks against the booby-trapped pagers and walkie-talkies last week was completely unprecedented and had a huge effect on Hezbollah's morale. I mean, some 3,000 people were hurt. A number of them were killed. And this renders a significant number of Hezbollah combatants combat ineffective. They've had fingers blown off, hands blown off. They've been blinded, you know, when the pagers were beeping and they were looking at them. So this has had a big morale impact. And of course, we've also had the explosion yesterday, the airstrike in southern Beirut, in which Ibrahim Akil, who's one of the founders of the Islamic Resistance, Hezbollah's military wing, was killed, along with a number of commanders of Hezbollah's elite Radwan Brigade. And this follows on from many other targeted assassinations, particularly this summer, which have taken out very senior Hezbollah military commanders. And Hezbollah has been struggling to be able to protect these guys from being targeted by the Israelis.
So in order to, I suppose, restore morale and to show that it has an answer to these attacks, what has Hezbollah done in the past? What indicators do we have from the past as to how Hezbollah is likely to react?
Well, typically, and we're going back decades here, if Hezbollah takes a big blow, they do retaliate. It's very important for them to preserve the balance of terror, if you like, to establish a deterrence factor with the Israelis. Now, they're a little bit on the back foot at the moment because Hezbollah and its patron Iran do not want to go to war with Israel. They want to maintain what they call a support front, which is a daily attacks against northern Israel, against military targets in northern Israel, to attract the Israelis, to put pressure on the Israelis as they prosecute the war in Gaza. But over the last couple of months, the fighting along the Lebanon-Israel border has steadily escalated. Hezbollah's rockets are going deeper into Israel. And of course, over the last week or so, or really the last 3 weeks, the Israelis have greatly escalated their attacks into Lebanon. Now, the problem for Hezbollah is that its support base, the grassroots Hezbollah cadres plus the civilian supporters, they are baying for blood. Hundreds of families have been affected by the booby-trapped pagers and walkie-talkies, and they want to see the Israelis in pain. Now, the problem for the Hezbollah leadership is that they need to satisfy the demands of the support base, but they can't over-retaliate, overreact to what the Israelis have done, because that could risk an escalation that then leads into a war that neither Hezbollah nor the Iranians, and indeed a large chunk of Israel, also doesn't want.
And what's the likely outcome at this stage in your analysis from the public utterances that you've been monitoring and people you've been talking to?
Well, I think we're going to continue with this escalated cycle. The basic tit-for-tat pattern that we've seen since last October, when this conflict in Gaza and along the Lebanon-Israel border began, I think we're going to see this continue at a heightened level. I would say that we're the closest now to a regional war, probably in 50 years, since 1973, the Arab-Israeli war then. But I think both sides are cognizant of that. They don't want to go all the way, but it's a very, very dangerous moment.
All right, Nicholas Blankford, thanks very much for joining us on the line. Oisín Smith, we've been advised by the Department of Foreign Affairs that there is a small community of Irish citizens living in Lebanon. That's quite apart, obviously, from the 350 soldiers who are serving with UNIFIL. But the Department of Foreign Affairs is warning that if citizens don't get out while they still have the option of getting a commercial flight, they won't be in a position to evacuate them.
Yeah, I checked the departures in Beirut Airport today and there are still commercial flights flying. And we are asking all Irish citizens and anybody who knows any Irish citizens in Lebanon to leave as soon as possible, not to rely on being evacuated in the future. So we're asking you to go to Beirut Airport and leave the country as soon as possible. We don't have an embassy in Lebanon. Our Irish people in Lebanon can contact the Egyptian embassy. The embassy in Egypt, in Cairo, for support. But we are asking people to leave the country.
All right. Is there a plan B if people can't make commercial flights on time? If this escalates, if people don't feel safe to travel to Beirut with what's going on at the moment?
Well, we're asking people not to rely on evacuation. The Air Force does have two evacuation transport aircraft, two Airbuses that they acquired last year. They're acquiring another one next year, but we're asking people not to rely on that. Capacity is, of course, limited and may be impossible for you to reach the evacuation site at that point. We're asking people to leave while they can. There are 300, as you said, there are more than 350 Irish troops in UNIFIL that are stationed there. Their families will be concerned about them. They are not leaving. There are no plans from the Department of Defence to reduce the contingent of Irish troops that are in Lebanon at the moment.
Okay, that's all we have time for today.